Did you know there are about 31,000 verses in the Bible? Now, that's a lot of information. And of all of that information that's in the Bible, we don't really talk about Mary most of the year. We don't. Sure, we talk about her every once in a while at Christmas. We actually did talk about her back in May, but that was the first time for us as a church that we had spent an entire Sunday talking about Mary, and that was back in May. So maybe we don't talk about her as much because there are parts of the worldwide church that we feel maybe make too much of Mary to the point where maybe they pray to her and they ask her for things, very much like we teach you to pray to Jesus and ask Jesus for things. And there are entire worldwide churches that have a very deep Mary focus, which we don't, and so that makes us just maybe a little extra cautious as we talk about Mary. But with all of that being said, even though we think that maybe theologically, according to Scripture, that they have missed the mark in what the New Covenant teaches about Mary, there is still so much for us to learn about her story. And her story can help us to catch Christmas right on time this year, and that's what we're going to be doing today. And as we get started, I want to ask you this, to think about this statement, our relationship with God, that statement, our relationship with God. And as we think about that, we think, right, that happens all right here in our heart or in our mind, in the core of our being. On some level, everyone in the universe, in the world, well, let's just say Earth, since that's where all the people are, everyone on Earth, we know this, we all have a desire to understand our Creator better. Or at least, if we don't have that desire, we have this desire to have a better understanding of where we came from, how did we get here, what, and all of that. So those great big questions of life. And those questions, I believe, are hardwired into our very existence. No matter what your religious beliefs or affiliations are, we have a tendency to wonder about those things. And I think that Mary's life can help us as we think about that big question today. Now, this is something that Cole and I have been challenged by a mentor about this series, and it was so impactful for us that we wanted to do our best to bring it to you as accurately as possible. We're going to be looking this morning in the Gospel of Luke. That's his biography of the life of Jesus. And here's where we're picking it up today. Luke chapter 1, partway through verse 27. And it says this, a virgin named Mary. Now, that's a very important word there, sentence, phrase, part of this, a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. And actually, Mary was also a descendant of King David. But let's think about this. Let's simply focus on what we know about this story. The Virgin Mary is going to have a baby. And let's think for a moment of the impossibility of all of that. Because based upon what we know about science, what we can observe and what we can repeat, what we can see happen over and over and over again, this isn't possible. Which means if this is going to happen the way God described it to us, if it's going to happen, it's going to have to be a miracle. And here's where we are in this story. It goes on, verse 28. Gabriel appeared to her. Now, Gabriel's an angel. He appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Okay, now we're going to look at Mary's response. And Luke tells us what her response is. Verse 29, confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. This is early in this encounter, and Mary is already trying to figure this out, obviously. So much of what Luke tells us about Mary and what he tells us about the experience of the cousin of Jesus, John the Baptizer, of him being born, all that happens right around the same time. so much of what we know is so very detailed and so personal that it is almost obvious that in order for Luke to know these things, Luke had to have these discussions with Mary herself. Luke probably has all of this information firsthand from Mary. And this is what Mary told him, that Gabriel came personally to her. And then she really thought about it very deeply, right? Of course she would. I mean, she was thinking through everything. She doesn't even really have any information right now except that God noticed her and that somehow she is favored, right? Wow. And the word that Luke uses to describe Mary's thought process literally means, it's an accounting term, it literally means to make an audit, to think hard about what this was being said, to add everything up like an accountant would do and make sense of it. That's the word, to come to terms with it. And that's exactly what she was doing. This is significant. Mary, already in this conversation, is troubled about what she's hearing. She's wanting to make sense of it. I mean, she would have to be thinking things like, am I seeing things? I mean, is this really happening? Is this really an angel? Was all of this real? Mary didn't immediately just accept what was happening. And I think, like you and I, she would be wondering. So she wondered. That's what we would do. I do believe we would wonder, because that's what we do when we don't understand something. We wonder about it. We wonder, how can this be? How is this real? Is it really happening? So we get that she was perplexed. Mary was using this God-given, God-created mind that he gave her, and she's using it, and she's thinking very deeply about all of this. If you're like me, as we think about ancient people, so this is 2,000 years ago or so, as we think about ancient people, often we kind of think of them as having a lower IQ, because after all, they didn't have Google, right? They must have been susceptible to believing anything or even everything. And we think to ourselves, well, people back then, they were just more gullible back then. They just believed things easier back then. But today, you know, we know so much more. We're not superstitious like they were. We're not mystic like they were. But that's just simply not true. Not true at all. They were not gullible. Mary did not just simply jump on board with everything that was happening and being said. She wasn't immediately all in. She had doubt. Which I find this interesting, because Luke tells us something about doubt as we look through this story, these early stories here of Mary and Jesus. Because we're going to contrast Mary for just a moment with another guy, because Gabriel gives Mary this news, but he also gives news just about 6 months earlier. He gave news to this man named Zechariah, which was a relative of Mary's. And his response is going to be very different. Zechariah is told that his very old wife, who had never had any children, was about to have a son. Very old wife. And we're getting ready to read about that. It happened about 6 months before the encounter we just read about Mary and Gabriel. So let's go backwards a little bit. Still in Luke chapter 1, but let's go backwards to verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, Zechariah, and standing at the right side of the altar of incense. He was a priest. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. as we all would be, I'm sure. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son." And it had to be a prayer from a long, long, long time ago. It was not a recent prayer. Your prayer has been answered. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. This is going to be John the baptizer. Now, let's look at verse 18. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." He was much kinder there. But here's what's interesting to me. Like Mary, Zechariah is experiencing doubt. He's experiencing doubt. And this is important. They were old, they were childless, so this news is hard to believe. But somehow, Zechariah's doubt is different than Mary's doubt. It doesn't sound different, but it's different. Let's go on. Verse 19, the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel." So this is the same angel. "I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now, Zechariah, you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." So Zechariah doubted as well, but when Zechariah doubted, he had repercussions. He was silenced by God. He could not talk. No words came out of his mouth because of his doubt. Now, Scripture is going to show us a couple of kinds of doubt, and we see that here. There's a doubt that comes from a closed mind, and there's a doubt that comes from an open mind. Mary's doubt pushed her, caused her to seek answers, and we're left to believe that Zechariah's doubt didn't want answers. So there's a kind of doubt, even in your life, in my life, that causes you to look for answers to these big questions of life, and there's a kind of doubt that causes you to close your mind and not look for answers. In other words, some are open to the truth, and therefore they're willing to relinquish control, sovereignty over their lives if they can be shown that this truth is not what they thought it to be in the beginning. So while some of us doubt, we're willing when we see it to give up that control, but then if our mind is closed, then we doubt in order to stay in control of our own lives. The difference between Mary's doubt and Zechariah's doubt. Mary doubted, she wondered, she was thinking, how could this be? But her doubt, as we're going to see, was going to lead her with her mind open towards God. Her doubt was going to push her toward answers. And in answering these questions for Mary that she was beginning to have, as this was all just starting here, let's look at verse 30. The angel says to Mary, we're back to Mary now, "Don't be afraid." We heard that with Zechariah. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Even with this information, Mary still had questions. Very rational, logical questions. Verse 34, Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen?" Now, we heard a very similar phrase come from Zechariah, but something's different between the two and their approach to this. Mary's mind seems to be open. She's asking this question, though, very similar to what he asked. How can this be, right? Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I am a virgin. And kind of a gradual responding, it seems, to God in kind of a gradual way. She's taking it in. She's thinking. She's pondering. She gets more information. She asks some questions. She's wanting answers. We all, when we are faced with something in our own lives, we respond to God differently. We all do. We all respond to God differently and in different timing, just depending on how you are wired and your life and your experiences. We respond at different speeds to God. We respond to different challenges in different ways. There's no standard response to God. We are seeing a response by Mary. It's not the standard response. But our first response here is, but how? Because God, this doesn't make sense to me. This, we are too incredible. Now, here in the South, we are saturated with Christianity all around us, with the Christian story, and we are saturated even with this story. We are familiar with the Christmas story and the Christian message, and it kind of has become kind of casual to us. I know it certainly has that way, that tendency to be with me. And so we think, oh yeah, yeah, the gospel of Jesus, sure. Yes, I've heard about it. I know about that. It's kind of, we are very familiar with it. But catch this. If you or I, if we never get to the point of this story of Jesus being incredible, then it's possible that we haven't really taken it in because we're so used to hearing it. Because I believe if you have stood toe-to-toe with the gospel, this good news that brings great joy for all people, and we have never found this story as incredible, as astounding, somewhat ridiculous, as impossible, then you don't really understand what the gospel is claiming. And understandably, when Mary heard this information, understandably, Mary begins to question it. Let's look at verse 35. The angel replied. So Mary has asked, how in the world can this happen? It's too incredible. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Now, in other words, the angel is saying, yes, if this is going to happen, because it is impossible and it is incredible, if it's going to happen, it is going to have to be miraculous. No question about it. So the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of the God, this is what the angel is saying, for the word of God will never fail. In other words, when God makes you a promise, you can count on it. It's going to happen because God always, always follows through with what he says. And so, verse 38, Mary responded. So here's this open mind. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. Now, let's look back for just a moment. Did Mary question what was going to happen? Absolutely. You better believe she did. I mean, she wondered, how can this be? I have no idea. I don't have a frame of reference. This can't happen. Certainly, she questioned it. But her heart was open. And when she received the answer from the angel, her response was acceptance. She said, in other words, I may not understand all of this and how this could actually happen. And it's not totally clear. And there's uncertainty about how this is going to work and how it's all going to play out. And I can see, and I don't quite know all how, but I can see this will cause me to struggle. But God made a promise, and God never fails to follow through on a promise. So I will pursue. I will follow. Serve. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant." And that phrase is a statement of surrender. And it is at that moment that Mary's story comes into contact with our story. Because God might not give you an answer to all of your questions either. You might have some information, but he may not fill you in completely. Mary still had questions. But she rationally, she even emotionally and personally declared, "I'm going to submit all of my questions and all of my worries. I'm going to submit them to, hand them over to you, God, even though I still have reservations and God, I still have fears. I'm moving forward with you, Jesus." And that step becomes living faith from the heart. Mary says, "May everything you have said about me come true." That's what she said. "I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. I do find it interesting that Mary didn't get to this point of submission on her own. Neither do we. We all have to have this kind of sense in our lives, this sense that there's a power beyond us, even today. There's a power beyond me, a power outside of you, with you, coming to you, and that is dealing with you and your heart. And that can make this seem and feel incredible. And it can be incredible and still be true. So true, in fact, that you can come to the point in your life where you give yourself over to that, where you submit to that, even if you still have some questions, and even if you still have some worries, and even if you still have some fears. And that's wonder. It's this feeling of being shocked that God would give us, with all of our brokenness, with all of our insignificance, that he would still give us such an amazing gift. It's a miracle that I'm even a believer. I look at my life and I look at how I have processed things in my past and I think I am shocked and I am surprised because I did nothing to deserve that gift. I could do nothing to get it. I could do nothing to earn it and I can do nothing to keep it. It was all done for me. For me. For me? Yes, even me. And who could have imagined it? Yet he did. And this very moment, as I stand right here talking to you about what Luke wrote as he was inspired by God's Spirit to write it, as I stand here talking to you, I am his. What Mary did, what I have come to do in my life, and what I am really begging you to do in yours is to do that. That is willing surrender. We're not talking about blind obedience. Mary had doubt. It wasn't blind. Mary thought through it like an accountant. It wasn't blind. So I just have to wonder, does her surrender possibly help you? Are you willing to obey everything the Bible clearly says and to do what it says, whether in your thinking you like it or not? Are you willing to trust God in anything that He sends into your life, whether you understand it or not? The younger you are, the less you think about this next thing I'm going to say. The older you get, the more you think about this. But I want to tell you the truth. Young or old, we're only getting out of this one of two ways. We're only going to get out of earth, this life, one of two ways. Either God is going to come back while we are still alive, and He's going to take those who have submitted their lives to Him to be with Him forever. That's one way. If it's not that way, during our lifetime, the only other way out of this story is for us to die. Every single one of us. The older you get, the more you think about that. There's only two ways out. Either He's coming back for you, but if He doesn't come back before that point in your life, you are going to die. All we don't know is the cause or the reason, but it goes all the way back to the garden as part of the curse. Death now, since sin entered the world, is part of this life now. We're going, for the vast majority of us, we're going to enter into eternity through that passage called death. So we have to ask ourselves, are we willing in this life right now to trust God in anything that He sends into our lives, whether we understand it or not? And if we can't say yes, 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 I believe that, I can submit my life to that. If we cannot say yes to that, then we probably believe in Jesus in kind of a general way, but perhaps we've never really said to Him as Mary did, yes, I am the Lord's servant. In other words, it's possible that we've never surrendered. And we talk about this over and over and over again. Surrender is the only thing that Christ accepts. It's His only offer. He doesn't offer a middle ground. He offers, you surrender to Me. That's His offer. And I know we wonder because we're human. We wonder. So we hear this and we ask questions. We wonder, how do I know? How can I say yes to such an offer? How can I say yes? Total surrender? That's what you're saying, Harley. That's the offer that Jesus makes to us, is surrender. He's not up for negotiations. He's not up for, as we said last week, peace talks. He only accepts surrender. He's not up for me to say, I will follow You, Jesus, if You will do this for me. That's not on the table. That's not. So how do I say yes to such an offer? Total surrender. For me to say to God, I will give up on my wishes and my desires and my direction, and I will give my life to someone I've never actually seen? Harley, how do I do that? And for just a moment, and I'm just going to be honest, this is beyond me, but for just a moment, let's think about that. Let's think like Mary for just a moment. Let's think like an accountant for just a moment. Let's add this up for just a moment. How can we do that with someone we haven't seen? Do you know that the distance between the earth and the sun is 93 million miles, just about. 93 million miles. Now, if that distance to from the earth to the sun was no more than the thickness of this piece of paper, if the thickness of this piece of paper represented 93 million miles, the distance from the earth to the sun, then that would mean this: the distance between earth and the next nearest sun, we call them stars, okay? So from here to our sun is 93 million miles, but from here to the next nearest star, it would take, if this represented 93 million miles, it would take a stack of paper 75 feet high, which is roughly from the ground to the ceiling, about four of these worship theaters stacked on top of each other. That's about four stacked right on top of each other. That's how far it would be if this represents 93. Let's just kind of work that into our mind for just a moment. So here's 500 sheets of that paper. 500. This represents 500 times 93 million. Was it 93 or 98? Whatever it was. 93 million. 500 times 93 million. That's just 2 inches. Wow. And so we're saying that for us to get from here to the closest star past our sun, it's not 500 times 93 million. It is as close as I can get it, it would be about 225,000 times 93 million. 225,000 times 93 million. That's how far it is. Just want you to know it's a long way. It's a long way. But that's not it. That's just to the next star. Our universe is made up, and that's a star inside of our own galaxy. The universe is made up of so many galaxies. Actually, that's not our, I don't know what where it is. Let's do this. Let's just take the Milky Way galaxy, our galaxy. If you just were, and it is actually multidimensional, it's not just a flat plane, but if you were to go from one edge of our galaxy to the other edge of our galaxy, okay? So our nearest star in our galaxy, 225,000 times 93 million. If we just want to go from one edge of our galaxy, straight line to the other edge of our galaxy, it would be a stack of paper. If this represents 93 million miles, it would be from one end of our galaxy to the other. It would be represented by paper. It would be a stack of paper over 300 miles high. It's a stack of paper 75 feet high, just to the next star. It would be, to get from one edge of our galaxy to the other, it would be a stack of paper 300 miles high, each piece of paper representing 93 million miles. Our galaxy is vast. That's just to let you know how big it is. And our galaxy is not the only galaxy out there. There are more, many more. There are more galaxies in the universe than we can number. There are more galaxies. I'm not even talking about stars. There's more galaxies than there are grains of sand. Now think about this. If Jesus Christ can do what Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says, and he's going to hold all of that together with simply the power of his word. If Jesus can hold all of that together, then Jesus, is he the kind of person that you can ask him to be your assistant? That we can treat him as just a consultant or an advisor, or he's just giving me some suggestions for life, or maybe he's a good mentor, or he's just an example? No, 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 no. The only option is to treat him as the supreme Lord and King. And that is Mary's story. She unconditionally surrendered everything, her decisions, her image, her standing in her community, her life to this King. Mary surrendered everything to God. Everything. Knowing that her life would move from teenage dreams of difficult and much more painful. Nothing was ever going to be the same for her, and it couldn't be. Mary would have known that this was going to bring disgrace, a pregnancy, and she was not officially married, she was just engaged. What was the community? She would carry that image with her the rest of her life. Yet she accepted it. And we think today, oh, that's no big deal. That was a big deal. Following Jesus and submitting your life to his care and his control, it is not going to be signing up for an all-inclusive resort. That's not what it's going to be like for you. And it's not going to be this life of a self-improvement seminar where he's going to help you achieve your full potential. No matter what authors and pastors and writers might say, that's not the truth. Following Jesus isn't signing up for spiritual service that is going to give you a great return on your investment. If you do this for him, then he's really going to do something big for you. He'll meet all your desires. He'll help you achieve all of your goals. You work hard and he's going to work hard. That's not, because Jesus is not open for negotiations. It is surrender. It is complete, complete surrender. But we can surrender to him. And if we do, it's worth it. Because not only are we now a servant of a King who holds all of this word, creation together with the power of his mere words. But you are also submitted to a God that you can trust because he's committed to you. Jesus himself reminds us of this. He says in Luke chapter 11, he says, "You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion?" Jesus said, "Of course not." So he says, if you sinful people, if you broken fathers, hurting fathers, imperfect fathers, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, does submitting to Jesus mean that everything in our life is going to end well? Not at all does it mean that. An ultimate end, well, yes. But on this life that we have on this broken earth, with broken lives around us and our own broken life right here? Is my life going to end the way I want it to? Everything up and to the right, success, the way I've planned it and the way I've dreamed it, is that what's going to happen to me and to my health and to my life and my decisions and my work? Not at all. But submitting to this king, this father, it does guarantee us this, that the tough times that we will certainly have, we're now able to allow them to drive us into the arms of God, this king, this father. Day by day by day, as we are following him, as we are submitting our lives to his care and control, day by day by day, he becomes more and more of our purpose, more and more, day by day, little by little, more of our meaning in life, day by day, more and more, as really my identity. I am not me, or really even the child of my parents. I am a child of the King. More and more, day by day. My satisfaction, more and more, day by day. It's in him. My hope in this life, more and more, day by day. It's in him. And Mary knew she was signing up for so much that she did not know of what was coming, and she was willing. She faced disgrace. She faced shame. She was poor. She suffered as she watched her son die the death of a criminal. But for every sacrifice that Mary made for Jesus, he made exponentially more sacrifices for her. Because Jesus, the Son of God, left the glory of heaven and he came here and he left that glory of heaven eternally. Of what that was for him, we don't understand, but he left it eternally and he put on the flesh and blood of man eternally. Jesus is alive today, not as a spirit and not as a ghost, but as God, who is fully human and fully God. And he lowered himself and put on the flesh and blood of man. And he did that. Think with me for a moment. God himself rejected by his own creation, and he was willing to do that. God himself spit on, tortured, murdered, hated, hunted, betrayed by his own creation. And it was no surprise. It was the plan. He knew it was going to happen. Willingly offered himself to be tortured, killed as the sacrifice for the sins of the world. And he did it in Mary's place, right before her eyes. And he did it in our place. My place, your place. And if Mary could surrender her life to Jesus without yet really understanding or knowing about the saving death that he was going to have on the cross, then certainly for us, this side of the cross, certainly we can surrender to him too. Mary, this teenage girl, enters the story, not for us to respond to her. No, 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 no. She enters the story so that we might respond like her. Complete and total surrender. The King. Let's pray. God, we still, in our lives, have questions. Things we don't understand. Things we don't understand at all. We have questions. But God, from this side of the cross, from this side of your sacrifice, from this side of your death. We know what you've done. You died for us. You rose again for us. And it's that resurrection that allows us now to place our lives into your care and into your control. Jesus, help us do that now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.